Recovery taught me to stop doing shit that prolongs the agony and the pain and the drama and the trauma and the difficulty and the nervous system dysregulation, which, by the way, I wasn't even aware I was doing until recovery. Recovery taught me to start doing things that actually promote ease and comfort and nervous system regulation. Hi, I'm Barb Nangle. I want to welcome you to my podcast, Fragmented to Whole, Life Lessons from 12-Step Recovery, where I help people heal their emotional, psychological, and spiritual wounds and make deep, lasting changes in their lives. I'm the founder and CEO of Higher Power Coaching and Consulting. I'm a boundaries coach who specializes in helping women who are focused on what others are thinking and doing and neglect themselves in the process. And I have coached hundreds of people on how to build healthy boundaries using my exclusive BUILD framework. On this podcast, I share my experience, strength, and hope from recovery. I don't support or endorse any particular 12-step recovery fellowship, and I don't claim to speak for any particular 12-step fellowship. I also don't believe that 12-step recovery is the only way to recover. You might need additional help. I'm an avid beachcomber who collects sea glass, shells, wood, and stones. I am a formerly closeted fan of the Hallmark Channel, especially the Christmas movies. Hello, Christmas in July. I wear fingerless gloves from September to June because my hands are always cold, so I have about 15 pairs. And I get a huge kick out of counting how many days, weeks, and months there are until my birthday or Christmas at completely random times of the year. My hope is that you'll find my words concretely helpful in improving your life, whether you're in recovery or not. If you like what you've heard on this episode, please screenshot it and share it on your social media and tag me at Higher Power Coaching. This is episode 264, 10 self-care strategies that I used to escape the pit of doom. So I'm back to my regular episodes after my three-part coaching series. I would love to hear what you thought about those episodes. Did you find them helpful to hear me coach people in real time? If so, I can do that sort of thing in the future, though I probably wouldn't do a series again. It would probably only be occasional. I'd really love to know if you found that helpful or if you prefer me to just do solo episodes. And actually, while I'm asking about that, I've been having guests every 10th episode since episode 100. And if you have any thoughts about that, I'd love to hear that too. So should I keep having guests every 10th episode or just do solo episodes or something else? Is there anything else you'd like to hear on this podcast that I'm not already doing? You can message me either by email, barb@higherpowercc.com. Or you can DM me on Instagram. I'm at Higher Power Coaching. And by the way, if you're not already following me there, please do. I have all kinds of free shit, especially about boundaries on there. Let me know that you found me from the podcast. That's my favorite place to hang out on social media. Okay, so what I want to talk about today is the experience I had in the last few weeks that I'm calling the pit of doom. And I can tell you right now that if I had had that experience before recovery, I think it probably would have taken me about 3 years to recover from that, rather than a matter of weeks. Thank you, 12 Steps of Recovery and all the tools I learned there. I'll lay out the whole thing in a moment, but before I do, I want to talk about how I would have handled that kind of thing before recovery. I was talking with somebody about this the other day, and I was like, yeah, I just didn't have any tools before recovery. And then I was like, wait, actually, I did. They were just shitty tools. When something really difficult or bad happened to me in the past, I would do things like complain about it over and over and over, which meant I relived it over and over and over. I would ruminate over it and think about it again and again and again, which meant, of course, I relived it. And when something shitty happens, it only happens once, and we prolong the agony when we keep replaying it. I didn't know it was an option to not replay shitty things until I got in recovery and realized I was doing it. I would catastrophize and think about all the horrendous things that were going to happen in the future because of it, even though I have always been an optimist. I would isolate and stay away from other people and just wallow in my pain. And while I was isolating, I would do things like smoke cigarettes, smoke weed, drink booze, binge eat while watching TV, staying up really late, and just basically things that prolonged the difficulty and the pain, or temporarily, that is, numbed the pain. Now I have tons of healthy tools that actually help me massively reduce the amount of time it takes me to get through something difficult. So now about this pit of doom. Right before I went on vacation to Mexico for a friend's wedding, I started having some anxiety. I didn't realize that's what it was at the time until I talked to my doctor. I said, you know, I've got all these stomach problems and it feels like fear. And I proceeded to tell her a bunch of things that have been going on. One was that I recently let go of my last part-time job and was now supporting myself entirely with my own company. And I didn't really have the size of money cushion that I would have preferred. I also told her about a revelation that I had recently about money, which I might as well share right now. When I was 11, I felt compelled to have my own income. And at the time, you had to be 12 to have a paper route, which is the only way I could think of to earn money. So I had to convince my 12-year-old brother to share the paper route with me. And until I got into recovery, I never really thought about what the fuck was going on at age 11 that I felt so compelled to have an income. So this has been on my mind for a while, and I've never come up with anything that made sense. But then about a week before this doctor's visit, I had a revelation that that was around the age that I learned that my dad was cheating and that my mom had been secretly smoking for years. In other words, that's when I learned I can't trust my parents. I now believe that that somehow translated into I need to support myself. So that's why the compulsion to get an income. However, you know that saying about money burning a hole in your pocket? Well, that may have been written about me, at least when I was a kid, a teen, and a young adult. I'm definitely not like that anymore. And actually, as I'm saying this, I remember I did talk about this on the podcast already. Oh, well. Anyway, in this conversation with my doctor, she said, it sounds like anxiety. And I was like, oh, okay. The reason that I was able to give her all this contextual stuff so that she could understand is that she's a lifestyle and family medicine doctor. The discipline of lifestyle medicine actually promotes health rather than fixing disease the way our traditional healthcare system works, which, by the way, she is an MD. She's trained in emergency medicine. So she does have an MD and she went and got certified for lifestyle medicine. So in case you want to know more about lifestyle medicine, I put a link in the show notes with the 6 pillars of health of lifestyle medicine. So you can check that out. It's made an enormous difference for me to be able to talk to my physician about things like my trauma history and to be fucking listened to by her and to have the time to build a relationship with her. She wants to hear about everything that's going on with me. She said to me, I think your anxiety probably started around the time of the paper route and finding out you couldn't trust your parents. And then she asked me if I wanted medication for the anxiety. And I swear to God, I started fucking crying. I was like, oh my God, I thought maybe you might give me an antacid or something. It never occurred to me that this was anxiety. And my parents took care of my physical needs, but they never took care of my emotional needs. And I feel really taken care of right now. And I feel really heard. It wasn't even on my radar that this is anxiety and that medication might be called for. And she said to me, Barb, you are exactly the kind of patient that I started this business for. So I started on anti-anxiety medication the next day, which was about a week and a half before I left for Mexico. Thank God, because I can't imagine what that trip would have been like if I hadn't been on those meds. Now, I'm going to go into some detail about the trip. As you probably know, I'm in recovery for compulsive overeating. And that means for me personally, I plan, measure, and track my food. I eat 3 meals and 2 snacks a day at approximately the same time every day. But that was not happening when I went to Mexico. And sometimes I didn't even know what the food was or when and where I was going to be eating. So my food was really thrown off. And also the plane was delayed. So I arrived in my room at 4:30 a.m. my local time, which of course threw off my sleep. And it was off for days. So those two things alone, food and sleep, are foundational to good health. And that's a lot to contend with. Then the hacienda where I was staying was like a gigantic compound, and it was very difficult for me to find my way around. They didn't have a map, so it was really disconcerting every time I left my room and tried to find the restaurant, the pool, where I was supposed to meet up with my friends, etc. And then, of course, there's the fact that I don't speak the language and I don't know the culture. So everything was off kilter, and it really rocked my nervous system. Now to what I did, what tools I used to take care of myself. I took naps. Of course, I had to take naps in the beginning because I needed to catch up on the sleep I missed. But I also continued to nap even when I was caught up. And I also rested a lot while I was there, just laying around reading or watching TV, listening to wildlife, listening to soothing music, that sort of thing. When I got home, I continued to take naps for a while to soothe my nervous system and because I was exhausted from all this mental and emotional labor. I increased my meditation. I've been meditating twice daily for 15 minutes each time for years now, but I started meditating at least twice a day for 30 minutes a day or 30 minutes each time, sometimes adding another one or two shorter meditations. It's what I needed to do to get my nervous system relaxed. And I'm still doing twice a day, 30 minutes a day, and occasionally adding another shorter one. I listened to sound bath videos on YouTube, some of which are specifically designed to soothe your nervous system. I linked a video to one of my favorites in the show notes. I also listened to and watched beautiful nature videos that have aerial scenes with nature sounds and or music in the background. I've also linked an example of one of those in the show notes. I continued to use those videos for a few weeks after I got home. I still use them from time to time, but not because my system is rocked. It's just because it's comforting and soothing. I made sure to socialize with people so as not to isolate. I did need to spend some time alone, but I also made sure I was connecting with other people from the wedding. As always, I made sure to eat healthy, nutritious food instead of indulging in things that may taste good but are unhealthy, which is what I did for decades before recovery. I also reached out to people at home and talked to friends and stayed connected. I let them know what was going on with me so I didn't feel so alone. I also made sure that I had fun while I was there. And then luckily for me, I have friends whose in-laws live in the town I was in. I met them about 18 months before the trip when they were in town visiting. My friend's mother-in-law was very kind and helpful and took me to buy fruit my first day so that I'd have something on hand that I knew I could eat. Then when I transitioned from the hacienda to an Airbnb on Sunday, she picked me up and brought me there as well as a bunch of other places. She also helped me plan an excursion to Santa Barbara, which is this beautiful place that has four cenotes. And if you don't know what cenotes are, they're these incredible natural springs that have these gorgeous ecosystems that you can swim in, some of which are completely under the earth, some are partially, and some are completely open. If it hadn't been for her, I doubt I would have done anything like that. She took me to Walmart to get a new suitcase because the telescoping handle on my suitcase broke. She took me to the Sunday market in downtown Merida, which was absolutely incredible. She took me to her home so I could see a traditional Yucatan home. And then she also took me to the Airbnb that she bought and was refurbishing. So I got to spend an afternoon with somebody who walked me around and translated for me, which never would have happened if I hadn't asked my friend if she thought it would be okay to contact her in-laws. Being with her mother-in-law was really, really soothing. Then, when I got back from Mexico, I was still pretty off kilter, and I found out on the day after I got back that only one person had signed up for my group coaching program, and I had been planning on 12 people signing up. And because I was already in this pit of doom, I just went further into the pit and started fucking catastrophizing and made it mean all this shit that only one person signed up. And all this made me realize I need to slow the fuck down. I just cannot go back to the pace that I was at before I left. One way that I slowed down was by doing way less social media. I made sure that I exercised every single day. I mostly do that normally, but it became imperative since my system was so out of whack. I made sure that I stayed connected socially with people, and I continued to reach out to people and share what was going on without catastrophizing. I really, really slowed down and took extra good care of my physical body, my mental health, my nervous system, my psyche, my spiritual self. I pray a lot anyway, but I prayed even more than I normally do, and that has carried on. I've read a number of times in spiritual readings that sometimes when difficult things happen, it gives us an opportunity to be closer to God, and that's definitely true for me. I reach out to God much more when things are shitty. I try to remember when things are not shitty to keep reaching out that often, and I don't always. But I have been remembering much more frequently recently after that pit of doom experience to say, all right, God, show me your will for me in these next few minutes. What's interesting about all this stuff is that this past month, when I have been doing things much more slowly and with much more ease, which, by the way, is my word for 2024, ease, I have had the highest revenue month ever in my business. For me, slowing way the fuck down is paying off. Now, the coaches that I currently work with and have worked with, all of them have slowing down and doing things with ease as part of their strategy. They've all said it is not about hustle and grind. If you're not enjoying yourself in your business, if you're not doing things with ease and comfort, you're just not going to make as much money. You need to enjoy your life and your business. Who the fuck wants to keep doing something that is completely exhausting them? So I will say I was not doing things that I was completely exhausted, not even close. And I thought I was doing things with ease and comfort. And perhaps in comparison to many people, I was. I've definitely done some of that, especially more and more. For example, I don't work on weekends anymore, with the exception of creating and recording my podcast. I'm working on moving that off of the weekend. I used to coach both on Saturdays and Sundays, but I'm not anymore. I don't want to work weekends, and I'm not going to be able to sustain that. And I want to have a business I can sustain. Recovery taught me to stop doing shit that prolongs the agony and the pain and the drama and the trauma and the difficulty and the nervous system dysregulation, which, by the way, I wasn't even aware I was doing until recovery. Recovery taught me to start doing things that actually promote ease and comfort and nervous system regulation, which is why I wanted to share all this stuff on the podcast, because even though I've been doing that stuff for years, I really needed to amp it up during this time. And I know that we all go into pits of doom from time to time. And that's literally how I felt, like I was in a fucking pit of doom. Now, I didn't feel like that 24 hours a day. It came and went throughout each day during that time. But honestly, one goddamn minute of feeling like you're in a pit of doom is plenty. You don't need to be in a pit of doom all day long for it to suck. And the amount of work that I had to do to keep bringing myself back from the edge of the pit of doom so that I wouldn't keep falling in was enormous. And this is one of the reasons why I needed to keep taking naps. Because I was exhausted. Mental and emotional work is so much more taxing on my nervous system than even physical labor. It's really, really taxing. So if you're going through something shitty, or in the future when you go through something shitty, I urge you to do as many things as you need to take care of yourself. This is one of the most important things I teach my clients. I feel safe in saying that more than 90% of my clients do not take good care of themselves. They neglect themselves typically because they're so fucking worried about everybody else. And they have this idea that it's somehow selfish to take care of yourself, but it's actually self-preservation and it's selfless to take care of yourself. Because when you're taking care of yourself, that means you can pour from the overflow rather than pouring from an empty cup. And you're not trying to get your needs met in some sideways, indirect way by other people, like people pleasing or manipulating them into meeting your needs, which is what I used to do. You get to take care of yourself. You deserve to take care of yourself. All right, so I'm going to recap all of the things here that I did, and there are 10 of them. So one, nap, rest, and relax. Two, meditate. Three, sound bath. Four, nature videos. Five, social contact. Six, eat healthy, nutritious foods. Seven, reach out for support from others and share what's going on. Eight, have fun and joy. Nine, slow down and do things with ease and comfort. And 10, exercise consistently. I was recently reminded by a friend that when I first started recovery, I didn't feel lovable. I almost can't believe that I used to feel that way and that I kind of forgot something so profound because I truly love myself now. And I want that for everybody. If you don't love yourself, there's literally nothing that can make up for that. I created something exclusively for my private clients since many of them don't love themselves. And I've now opened up my private vault to share it with up to 10 people individually. It's called the Self-Love Sprint. You'll grow to love yourself and truly feel worthy so you can stop saying yes when you really want to say no. Stop neglecting yourself and putting everyone else first. Stop saying all kinds of nasty shit to yourself. That is not what people who love themselves and feel deserving do. You'll stop being afraid that others will think that you're selfish for taking time to care for yourself. This is also for you if you don't really know who you are because you've always been such a fucking chameleon. Go to higherpowercc.com/lovesprint. Remember, I'm only offering 10 of these, so don't wait. If you like this podcast, and I'm guessing you did, or you wouldn't still be listening, then you're gonna love the other things I have to offer. If you'd love pre-release podcast scripts and episodes before anyone else gets them, or if you'd love access to content from my private vault that I developed exclusively for my private clients, which is like having a work session with me without me actually being there, go to patreon.com/higherpowercoaching. There are 3 tiers ranging from as low as $4 up to $24 a month. You'll also love my weekly newsletter, Friday Fragments, which has content very similar to the podcast. You can check it out at fridayfragments.news. That's fridayfragments.news. Please like and subscribe to my podcast on your favorite podcast outlet. I'd also love it if you'd leave a review, which you can do either in the show notes or on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find my podcast so they can get the benefits you've gotten from listening. If someone came to mind when you listened to this particular episode, please share it with them. And my favorite place to hang out on social media is Instagram. I'm at Higher Power Coaching. Please DM me there. I'd love to hear what you got from this episode. I run group and private coaching programs on building healthy boundaries. Whether you need help with boundaries in your personal, professional, or romantic life, I can help. Head on over to barbchat.net, where you can hop onto my calendar for a free 30-minute Better Boundaries consultation. My ideal client is someone who is ripe for change. If that's you, I would love to work with you. My goal with all my work is to help you make lasting changes in your life like I've made deep, lasting changes in my life. Remember, it's never too late to recover. No one is beyond hope, and healing is possible. Thanks for listening.